Revelation chapter 1. I'm reading at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, is in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice of the trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now notice, please, verse 12. It is the special reason for which I am reading these verses. And I turn to see the voice that spake with me. Notice the next sentence. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and good about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass as it had burned in a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. May God bless his word to us. I have a little subject for the meeting tonight, which I am going to call the blessing that comes to those who turn. I've been thinking through the scriptures. I have picked out a few cases. There are many more. Likely, you will think of them as I'm speaking. But I've been thinking of those who were caused to turn, and of the results of the turning, and of the blessing that came to them. I was thinking of Genesis chapter 21. I'm not going to read these passages because they are very familiar. And I'll try to refresh your mind with the circumstance. Hagar has been sent away from Abraham's house. She has gone away to the desert. And the water that she had carried in the bottle was spent. And that son that God has given her is with her. And it says that her own son Ishmael, he laid him under a bush. And she went a distance that she would shoot a bowl. And she sat down. Last night, she said, I see the death of the lamb. Last night, see the death of the lamb. The remarkable thing is that God heard the cry of the lamb. It's true that she lifted up her voice and wept, but it was the voice of the lamb that brought her. And God told her to go and lift up the lamb. And she opened her eyes. And she saw a well of water. And she filled the bottle. And gave to his mouth. And he drank. The next verse says that his God made of him a mighty nation. That's a simple account. But it's the description of something that came for a woman's son. I think you must be aware that this is a heavy burden among God's people today. I am now going to take a very practical application of Genesis 21. Everywhere we move, we find believers with heavy hearts. There's many a heart that should be gone, There are many years for our loved ones, our own children, and the cry of many a parent is, lest I see the death of the lad. Lest I see the death of the lad. Isn't it interesting that God told her to hold up the lad? Take him up in my hands, he said. Hold up the lad. He held up the lad. He told her. God opened her eyes. God held her. I believe that in many a parent today, he is holding up the lad. In God's presence, day by day, night by night, nights of tears, and broken heart, the lad is being held up. What a blessing came to that dear woman, Hagar. She seemed to be forsaken, abandoned, left in a desert to die. And God had his eyes on her. I believe there's many a believer in the devil's tempt to the thought, God does not hear. God has forsaken. God has forgotten me. My cries go unheard. I've prayed for years, and there's been no answer. What a blessed turning this was. What a blessing resulted from it. We lifted up the lad again. I was thinking of Abraham. When I look at Abraham in Genesis 22, I'm reminded that it tells us that Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behind him, behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. I've been impressed lately with the fact that when Abraham took Isaac, his well-beloved, to the land that God would tell him of, to the mountain that was there in the land of Moriah, and he found Isaac, laid him upon that altar, I've been aware of the fact that Abraham's trust was formed by the act that he himself had performed. A father giving his only son. You don't read anything about that in Genesis 22. I believe that in the book of Genesis you have to take two fathers. You get the full picture. You have to see Jacob as an old man. And Benjamin is born from him. Jacob parted from him. With great reluctance he yields up his Benjamin. And yet it must be so. It takes both of those pictures to give us any understanding of the great fact the Father first upon. When you read about the death of the Lord Jesus in Leviticus, in those types, in that remarkable book, it tells us, even regarding the sin offering, Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 25, in the place where the burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. Before the Lord. It is most holy. Giving up of his son at Calvary. Oh, what must it have meant to the father's heart? Was there suffering in the father's heart for giving up of his son? I look at those pictures, I must believe they were. But I would like to draw a simple lesson from Genesis 22. Abraham was occupied with his sacrifice. He was occupied with what he was giving up. And God turned him. And behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And then took the ram off of him up and said, try it, Father. And what? Have you ever heard a weary servant say, it seems that I'm the only one who has much exercise to give of my time, give of my effort, the labor to do the necessary things in relation to the practical things of the assembly. Maybe you might say that publicly. Maybe there's times when it's said in our own soul, why is it that I find so much of the burden falls on me? How is it that I find that I must do it or it's never done? Do others not have exercise and concern? There's Abraham at the altar, and he's all occupied with the sacrifice he is making, but God turns him. That was a blessed turning, wasn't it? Behold, behind him a lamb, caught in a thicket by storm. No wonder it says, in the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen. I have a very simple little thing about Genesis 22. It's interesting that the first statement that he's made about that mountain, God said, I will tell you of it. The future. The next time you read about it, it says, the mountain which I told thee of. Some would say, oh, well, that just goes back to the first mention of the mountain I will tell thee of. And now he's referring back to that. I wonder. I would wonder whether along that journey, there were not communications during the days on earth regarding that place, Jehovah Jireh. That place where in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What shall be seen? If the Father would give his only Son. The greatest sacrifice. Now maybe you see my simple illustration. I'm using it as an illustration. I'm drawing a practical lesson from. I can sometimes be so occupied with my sacrifice that I lose sight of the one who gave his all for me. It's very possible that in my service I can become so busy, I find it in my own little life. I find I work tremendously long hours. Labor. Hard. It is very easy to be so occupied with the service. So occupied with the labor. If you need to turn. You need to get a look at a greater sacrifice. You need to get a fresh look at the Lamb that God has provided. And a lovely thing, amen. And that seems to take you right when he says that the ram came from the thicket with the horns upon his horns, the thorns upon his horns. That may not be either. Nevertheless, it's a picture here, an illustration. I was thinking of Moses. Remember what God said to him? When he saw that bush there in the back side of the desert that burned with fire, enveloped with flame, and yet was not consumed, just a desert bush, and the flame could have consumed it in a crackle of light, but it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, that's the statement, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called unto him. What was the revelation God gave him that day? The I Am. The one who is beyond time. The one who is absolute in his deity, in his authority, in his eternal being. Oh, I tell you, Moses needed that. Israel was like that bush enveloped in the flames of persecution, of tribulation, in the awful furnace in Egypt. Israel was there. Moses turned aside. What a blessed turning it was. The revelations of God were given to him that stood him in good stead during all the days that followed. I believe that many a time what we get from God for the present, God may have in mind what we have to face in the future. It may be what you receive when you read the Word of God in the morning. It is very much required before the day has run. And what God gave to Moses as he turned aside to see that great sight, what he gave to him is far more than Moses had ever expected. A revelation of himself. I wonder how long it has been since I have turned aside like Moses and the Lord has revealed himself. I've been impressed lately with the fact that the Lord Jesus in those resurrection appearances, after he left behind him Joseph's tomb and rose in mighty triumph from the dead, that those to whom he appeared to them in the very form in which they needed him. And so you know what I mean? to those who walked along the way to Emmaus. He was the companion of the road. Jesus drew near and was listening. And for those who were on the journey, he was the companion who went along the way with them. He appeared to them just as they needed him. To that woman in the garden, he appeared as the gardener. Surely she needed her soul nurtured. He was at a very low end, but he appeared to her just at the right time and in accordance with her needs. And I could take you through those appearances. It's remarkable how just exactly he suited the needs of his own in the manner in which he appeared to them. I'll tell you what I had in mind. I had in mind that little verse in Mark 15. He appeared in another form. The two of them. As they went into the city. He appeared in another form. According to their needs, he appeared in another form. I was thinking of Mary of Magdala. The disciples have gone away unto their own home. Mary stands without the sepulchre. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Saw two angels in one sitting, one at the head and the other at the foot, with the body of Jesus in one. Also, two angels, glorious in their heart. Glad, listen, good, and let us sing the angels. Mary sings too. It is a sight that would hold her attention. Surely no other sight could be compared to a sight like that. That right? Yes. Yes, it is. The remarkable words of that past day. She turned herself back. She looked away from two dazzling angels in the tomb. She turned herself back. Whatever turned it. A greater effect. A greater effect. He saw Jesus standing. He knew not it was Jesus. He supposed him to be the gardener. But nevertheless, he had turned away from two angels to look upon the face of the Lord. What had he said? They have taken away my Lord. That's one of the five times in the Bible I was telling that people on Friday, Saturday night. One of the five times that you had that statement, I am. What a blessed turning that was for Mary. Listen to her testimony, and I'm paraphrasing it, but this is what she said. Her testimony when she went into Jerusalem, where the disciples were gathered with this, I have seen the Lord, and he has spoken unto me. I have seen the Lord, and he has spoken unto me. Not you to hardly admit himself. Before the market, you have seen the Lord, and you have spoken on the earth. Revelation chapter 1 describes the servant of Christ. That servant of Christ was given a wondrous revelation of the churches of Christ. You know that. But it was the Christ of the churches that John describes for us in his first chapter of the Revelation. There are six views of John here, and I would like to point them out to you very simply. This is simple, I must confess. I felt that this is about the only kind of a thing I could give you tonight. Something very simple. I'm not going to strain your mind, but you'll see it very easily. John has a sixfold need. And as I look at John, the servant of Christ, I confess every one of those needs is mine. Every one. I was preaching in the Maritimes one day, some years ago, about spiritual diseases and the remedy. And to my mind, the most godly woman in the place. Oh, I'm not judging, or I hope I'm not judging the other sisters at all, but I know this particular woman. This is L.K. McElwain. In my mind, this is L.K. McElwain. and the two women of God. But when I spoke about the spirit of Jesus, she came to me after the meeting, and she said, "Norman, I had every one of them, and I would have thought she had none." When I look at John in his sixfold ministry, I have no difficulty identifying myself. John had a need to be in spirit. There are four times in this book of the Revelation that John is seen in spirit. And John needed, and I needed, a need to be in spirit. John's spirit, moved upon by the Holy Spirit, so that he was receptive to what he was about to see. John had the need to hear his voice. Did you notice it was the voice that caused him to turn? He didn't need many attorneys. He needed to hear his voice. It's so easy to become occupied too much with the legitimate things of life. Never mind the illegitimate things that Christians might get involved in. It's a heavy enough occupation for the regular toil, the general responsibility to fall upon each person according to their own particular responsibility. We need to turn. We need to wait for. John needed to be in spirit. John needed to turn. John needed to hear his voice. Notice what it says? It says, "I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned.
Oh, that's the right answer. Being turned.
Turned from what?
From a world that occupies us too much? From self? Self-pity? Subjective feelings? Self-sincere? Cares? Burdens? Trials? All the things that make up that. And being turned. And being turned. John sees that blessed one, the Lord in the midst of the fish. And as he looks at him, he begins where every one of us to begin. He began in sleep. John fell into sleep. Oh, the need to be out of sleep. You know, we have no difficulty in Revelation chapter 4 saying that when John is caught up, that's a picture of the church rapture. So we see, we know that not because it says John was caught up, but because of the truth of chapters 2 and 3, and the truth that follows in chapters 4 and 5 and on through the book. But be that as it may, we have no difficulty in seeing that as John is caught up, the church is removed at that point from earth. Never again is the church mentioned on earth through all those chapters that follow, way on to chapter 19. So John is caught up and we say that's the first planet. How is it, brethren, that when John lay at his feet, we don't say that's the church at his feet? I believe we well know. Because I believe this is the secret of all the revelations that were given to him. He was in the place where he could receive them. He was in the only place where he could make a true judgment of self. He was in the place where he could truly learn. He was at his feet. So there's a need to be in spirit. And there's a need to hear his voice. And there's a need to turn. And there's a need to be at his feet. And there's a need to see his hand. Notice that? He laid his right hand upon me. He laid his right hand. I'm amazed that John knew what hand it was. John had something very particular in mind. For that hand holds the seven stars. John sees the one who holds the stars in his right hand. And he says he laid his right hand on me. Oh, to know that hand. Feel its guidance. To know its control. I wonder, my client. Under the touch of that hand. I wonder as a believer of your command that his hand is laid upon me, if there's a response, that that tender hand that bears the sin of the Lord. He lays his right hand on me. Notice the need to communicate. John is commanded now to write. A wondrous revelation of the one who is the living one. John will soon be describing him as the lion. And John will be giving us those wondrous truths of the Lamb. But he's in the place where he can receive this revelation. He better speak. The right hand is upon him. And then John can communicate. Are there some brethren here who would love to have a word to express with him? Why, sometimes you feel God's people are weary. God's people are hungry. God's people need refreshment. How can there ever be something from God to refresh them? I have known brethren to get up at times in a meeting, and the word from God that they gave came with such freshness and power. Oh, you could tell it was a word from the Lord. It wasn't just that it held some great marvels and wonders that we had never known before, but it was a word that came directly from God. A word from Him. The man who gives it has said it to preach. He has known the hand upon him. Maybe not just always the way we would like to feel the hand. But he's waiting. And it's been changed with God. And then there's the ability. God grant me what he says. Like this dear woman, Hagar, he was turned, he held up a lie. God bless him. Abraham turned from his own sacrifice to find a greater sacrifice. My son, he had said, God will provide himself a lamb, a greater sacrifice. Moses turns to learn that all their Israel is in the furnace of affliction. There is the God who is the mighty I Am, who can meet all the needs of his people. Mary of Magdala, with breaking heart, believing they have taken away her Lord, turns herself back, and behold Jesus standing. I have seen the Lord, he said, and he has spoken unto me. John, the servant of Christ, turned at the sound of the voice. Oh, may we cannot be turned at the sound of the voice.